We are up to the Nun Beis Amud Aleph. We're learning in our Mishnah that if you're traveling from one region to another region, you have to follow the Chumras from either the place whence you came from or the place where you have come to. And we had an argument about that only if it died to Lachza, your intention was to go back to the original place, or even not. And then we learned about going to Yisrael, where Yisrael coming to Chutz Laretz. As you saw coming to Chutz Laretz, you have to follow the Chumras of the place. The Gemara doesn't talk about the converse if you're going from Chutz Laretz to Eretz Yisrael, because if you have to follow the Chumras from the place where you come from, then you have to keep 2 days in Eretz Yisrael or not. So that's the discussion. Basically, we discussed yesterday the Rishayim and Achrayim. Okay, so we're up to now the Gemara here, the last part of our Mishnah. The last part of the Mishnah had a similar concept, which talked about Peiros Shvi'is. And we said that the law is that you do not have to mevayer, which we said last time, which either means put it in the public, make it ownerless, or means actually physically destroy it. You don't have to mevayer your tvua at home until there's no longer any crop growing for the animals in the wild. Then you have to get rid of all the crop for your domestic animals. But in every area, there are different time zones, you know, different seasons, and you know, some crops last longer in one area than another area. So you went from one place to another place. So basically we said the same thing there. We said if you went from a place that where it's Zman Bir to a place where it's not Zman Bir, you always have to take the Chumras for where you either you came from or where you are at now. And Rabbi Yehuda said the following. He said, tell them, go to the place where you went to. Sounds like what he's saying here is that if you came from a place which is lenient, sounds like he's being lenient. He's saying if you came to a place that the Bir is much later and you're now residing in a place where the Bir is today, he could tell them what's wrong. You can go there just as well as me and use these crops because it's not Zman Bir yet. That's what it would seem. So that's what we're up to the Gemara. The Gemara is two dots about 12 or 13 lines on the top. Ki yoyzeh by a similar vein, ha-moylich peiros shvi'is, somebody transports peiros shvi'is. So it sounds like you're saying, if you came from a city that is not Zman Bir yet, and you come into a city where the Zman Bir is right now, you could tell them, I don't have to follow you. You can do the same as me. Says the Gemara, v'les leh Rabbi Yehuda, he doesn't agree with her. Now we learned, noisten olav chumre hamokim sheyotze misham. The chumre hamokim sheholach l'sham. You have to follow the chumres of the place where you're now residing. And now it's Zman Bir and where you are. What are you telling them? They can go back to your place. Omer Rav Shishi b'rei Ravidi, Rav Shishi, son Ravidi said, Milsa Achrita, he said, Ka'amar Rav Yehuda actually saying something else. And we learn a few different interpretations as to what the argument of Rav Yehuda and Tanakam is. This is what he's saying. Oy b'mokim, if you come from a place, shaloiko, a place which is, for example, is not Zman Bir yet, because it's not yet, it hasn't stopped yet, these vegetables, whatever it is, growing. L'mokim shaloiko, but you're coming to another place, which is similar. So when you left city A, which is the original city, you can still consume these vegetables, and now you come to city B, and you can still consume it. But then what happened was, while you were sitting in city B still continues enjoying it, but in your original place, now suddenly it stopped. But when you left before then. So the Tanakhama says, Chayev Levaya. The Tanakhama strictly says, since the city where you originally came from, even though at the time when you left it was all right, but now it's forbidden, you have to get rid of it as well, where you are now. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Say, V'ho V'elecho, Af Atom Hechad Asino. He could tell them that, you know, when I left this place, everything was all right, and therefore it's good. So he could... he's saying I'm not really changing for your place because I came to a place where you can still continue eating this fruit and you can go, and he tells the people from the original place. He's not talking to the people that he's residing at right now because they're still being lenient. He's telling the people in his original place who now suddenly have to turn and start burning it. He said, guys, you can come here and continue eating what I'm eating because where I'm right now. Says the and over here it's not yet time of beer. Says the Gemara, what does it sound like? Your version, the memory of Rabbi Yehuda Lekulukam, he's being lenient. Rabbi Yehuda actually is being machmir. Whatever you learn pshat in their argument, Rabbi Yehuda is the one who's being stringent. And you're the one saying he's being mekel, that he can continue eating here, because when he left his original city, it was mutter, so he can continue, and he tells the people in the original city, come here and join me. Elefa swapped the names around. Eina chayva, Tanakama holds, you don't have to burn it because when you left there, everything was all right. You came here, it's still all right. It doesn't matter what happens now in the old city. And Rabbi Yehuda mitzeva havelcha af atem mehecha. That's it. Rabbi Yehuda says that no, that they say go right now. They say you can't eat anymore because go right now to the city where you came from. And for them, it's man beer ready. So he was being machmer, and the wording that he said, "Go now." He's talking to; they're telling him, the people of city A, his original place, are telling him, "Go back to your original city, and you can no longer eat." So even though you're here now, you can no longer eat. Abai says, "La'olam kidiktandi." No, let's go back to the original version. And but what? Our Mishnah is not talking about he's bringing from a place that you were able to continue to eat to another place that you're able to continue to eat. We know the way we originally learned that he brought back from one place to another place, different statuses. And what? And this is what's going on here. Tanakama is saying, Shalai kolamokin kolam, from a place that they continue eating to a place we no longer. The hechazidon lemekayman. So you went from city A, where they continue eating. Then you came to city B. City B, they stopped eating as manbir. You bought some crop in city B, and you brought it back with you. Or you took some crop that you grew in city B, and you brought it back with you to city A. But dying the coast, city A is still enjoying their crop, and it's not a problem. Tanakam said, well, no, it's a problem. Ain't a chai levayah. Since he went back to his original place, and they're continuing to eat, even though he brought the tvua from a place now that stopped eating, it doesn't matter. He doesn't have to burn it. Yehuda says, "Say v'havelcha af atom hechadasinu." The people, the original city B, tell him that if in our city you cannot eat, so therefore you shouldn't be able to eat it, even though you brought it to a city that's still eating it. Your original city was still eating it. So Yehuda actually wanted to be machmir. Says the Gemara, "V'hakalu," and there it's manbir. So even though you're sitting now back to the original, you're back to the original city where they're eating, but you brought the crop from a city that stopped eating, you should not bring it here to eat. Maskar Shavir, understand? Otu agaba de chamra kaltinu, that the back of the donkey somehow or another, because it was what do you call it? So what happened is like this. So it doesn't make sense, he's saying it. You're telling me that it's as if the donkey back or something or another took a hold of it and has all the chumras of the place that it originally came from. What happened like this? We're talking about it grew in city A, it grew in the original city. You took it with you to city B, you then took it from city B and brought it back to city A. So Yehuda says, even though it grew in city A, and you're back in city A, and you're still allowed to eat, but because you brought it in the meantime to city B, and you were there for a while, and in city B, they're no longer eating from the new crop, now that it went back to city A, it's also. So I'm going to ask the question, why? Since the tefuah originally came from city A, just because it sat on top of the donkey in city B, does it now suddenly take on all the laws and the chumras of city B, and when you brought it back to city A, it doesn't make sense? Elamad Rashi Ravashi. The pluk de hantanoi is a totally different argument altogether. This is the argument. Okay, every single crop has a different zman beer. Every single crop has different time periods when it's fully ripe and when the animals can no longer eat from it in the field, the wild animals. So what happens? You have three different crops, but you put them all together. Now we learned how kovish loisha kavoshim b'chaviz achaz. You took three different crops and you marinate them together. So the question is, when do you stop eating from this crop? There's three different ones. They're all three different seasons. Are you machmir the very first crop that suddenly becomes the time to stop eating it? You stop from all three. Are you makel that you wait till the last one, or do you look at each vegetable accordingly, or each grain, whatever it is, accordingly, and then you stop? But for that particular one, is Rabbi Leza says oichlin alarishin. Rabbi Leza says that the very first one that you no longer can eat, that's when you stop eating all of them. They're all three become asa. Rabbi Shua is most lenient. He says, "Afalachon, you can wait on the other two, even though they stopped in the field. But since one of them, which was marinated together, you can still eat. So you can eat all of them together." And Rabbi Yehuda, so the Tanakh Kamen Mishnah holds like, and the third opinion is which Rabbi Gamliel says, "Kol shekol min masada yivari min minachavis." Rabbi Gamliel says, each the particular grain or vegetable is different than the next, and whatever that one's finished, that's when it becomes asa. So the Tanakh Kamma holds like Rabbi Yeshua, that one auntie holds like Rav Shua, that is lenient. You wait for the very last one, then you stop eating all of them. So when he says for a place that hasn't finished to a place that has finished, that's when you have to destroy it. That means when all of it is finished. But if only some of those grains, you have three grains, and only some of them have been finished, or different kinds of crop. Only two of the crops have been finished. If one hasn't, you don't have to do anything with it, like Rabbi Shua. In other words, you eat out until the achron is forbidden. And Rabbi Yehuda is machmir, and he says, no, you look at that particular min, and if you don't find that min out in the field anymore, that min, you stop eating, the other two you can still eat. So Rabbi Yehuda follows the Gamliel, so he's being machmir. Says the Gemara, Ralloch is actually like Rabbi Gamliel. So that's pshat in our Mishnah. Nothing to do with your argument about bringing from one place to another place. Over here, Mokah means it's talking about the kind of crop you have. Ravina says the pluk doesn't know. In fact, they're arguing about different machlekes altogether. We know that generally three regions when it comes to Yisrael. We have a number of cases just for Shemitah and for other things as well. So you have Yehuda, and you have Galil, come back to me. Okay, so there are three places. And then each place also has different regions as well. So and you have Eber Yarden. So you have three different places. And each one you have different regions. So the let's say, for example, in Yehuda. When do you have to stop being Yehuda? Your particular city in Yehuda or your area is stopped growing. But the other parts of Yehuda are still growing. So we learned, Oichlin b'tmorin, you could continue eating date, atche yichle ha'achra, until the very last dates are finished growing, shebet tzoyer, in a certain area in tzoyer. As long as it's growing in tzoyer, the rest of Yehuda can enjoy their fruits as well. Shimon Gamliel says,
Is it Shomron?
Yehuda is, when you divide it to Yisrael, Yehuda covers Yerushalayim, and the main area of Eretz Yisrael is Yehuda, the very epicenter. Galil is entire north, and Eber Yarden is Transjordan. That's how we split Eretz Yisrael. So we said he can eat until the very within your area. Yehuda, for example, you wait till the very end, till it grows in some area there. That's when you stop. Shimon Miguel says, Oichlin, you can eat al shel ben hakipin, that you, let's say, on palms by dates. You can eat. You have the palms growing between the leaves. And then you have, also thorns growing around the palm as well. And behind some of those thorns, you have some berries as well, some of these dates growing as well. So we're saying over here is when the dates stop growing, those dates that are growing between the leaves and the branches, as long as there's some there, you can eat them everywhere else. Because animals would eat from there. But those dates that are growing between the thorns, animals don't generally eat from there, so therefore that doesn't count and has no bearing on when you have to stop eating in the rest of the place. So this, and that's a machlekes. That kama holds that if all the dates have been stopped growing, but there's still some dates growing behind the thorns, it's good enough, and you don't have to yet consume. You stop in your area, and Rabbi Yehuda says that the thorn, he's machmer. He says if the date's only growing behind the thorns, that doesn't count. In other words, we say, bring it from the place which animals normally, that means where animals normally eat from it. They don't eat behind the thorns, and therefore it doesn't have any bearing whatsoever on when Zman beer is. So he's being machmer. So sometimes we learn, three different parts of it. So when it comes to destroying the Tvua, there's Yehuda, there's Evra, Yarden, there's Galil. Within each one, you have different times of beer. That means even though Yehuda, we said before, is one area, but within Yehuda, you also have three different kinds of beer. Why? For example, you have mountains, you have flatlands, and you have valleys. And each one has different time periods from when they, the mountain grows different than on the flatlands and the plateaus, and then which are different than the valleys. Rabba Amru Sholosh Alotzes Lebir. So why do we say there are three regions for beer? It's actually nine now. There's three regions, and each region has three regions, and within each of those regions, they behave differently. So there's a total of nine. So why are you telling me there's three? And what's the relevance of three here when actually there's nine? She oichlin b'chol achas v'achas at sheyichle ha'achren sheba. In other words, even though that three different, they grow in different in different times, there's different lechayda times, the seasons within each three area, three different seasons within Yehuda, and the same thing with Galil. The chiddush is, but the entire Yehuda can continue eating based on the last area within Yehuda, whichever region is the last area or the last fields. Everybody else in Yehuda, they can continue eating. So that's why we're telling you that three regions, because actually, even though the practice speaking nine is halachically only three. How do you know? How do you know that, with, let's say, within Yehuda, you continue eating until the last part in the, of these three regions within Yehuda, it stops growing? And on the other hand, Yehuda has nothing to do with Galil. We don't care what happens in Galil. Yehuda is independent. It says in the pasuk, "Lahem tochal lechaya." You can continue giving feeding your behem on your chaya. Asher ba'artzecha. That's in your land. What do you mean in your land? In your region. Kol zman shechaya echem l'asada. As long as the wild animals eat in the field, tochal behem shabayis, you can feed your animal in the house. Kol lechaya shemesada. Once the animals in the field can no longer eat, kol behem shabayis, hem tochal shabayis. You can no longer feed your animal from this. You have to make it hefker. Ugmedium. We learned. We have a tradition. The ain chaya shebu Yehuda gedela al peda shegalil. The animals in Yehuda do not go wander off to Galil to eat from there. This is a tradition that we have, because it's too far away from Yehuda for them to go travel all the way there. But within Galil itself, we'll go from one region to another. Within Yehuda, we'll go from one region to another. Ain chaya be Galil gedela al peda shebu Yehuda. Tell them what we learned. Pedas sheyotu me'eretz Yisrael chutzlaretz. Let's say you have fruits you took with you from Eretz Yisrael to chutzlaretz. Mizbadim b'chol makom. When it's man beer in Eretz Yisrael, you have to get rid of it, whatever it is. So the fact that the pedas come to Australia doesn't in any way remove all the laws of Shemitah and all that. That's why we had all these problems with orange juice here in Australia. Rashim b'lozer. Rashim b'lozer says yachzul lemekayvon. Rav Shimon Lozer says, "Yachzur lemekayman v'yizbaru." Rav Shimon Lozer says, even though there's another, we have more about basa generally. By the way, you're not allowed to export fruits from Eretz Yisrael. You shouldn't sell, you know, pay this from Eretz Yisrael to chutz l'aretz. How they have all these export things? So one of the hetayim is there. You planted it for Eretz Yisrael, and then you export it. But here, lachatchila, you planted it for export. If you plant lachatchila for export, it's not included as pay Eretz Yisrael. And then, therefore, some people want to be lenient also with laws of Truman and Meisters and all that, because it was planted to export. Anyway, Rav Shimon Lozer says Yachzru leMekayman v'Yizbar. Rav Shimon Lozer says you can't burn it in Chutz Laaretz; you have to bring it back to Eretz Yisrael, and there you have to get rid of it. How do I know that? Shemeshnevet says Ba'artzecha, in your land. So the animal that's in your land, and that's how you mevayir it. You know, it's beer doesn't necessarily mean you burn it; beer means you bring it out and make it hefker. For who? For the animals of Eretz Yisrael. How can you use the same drasha to tell you bring it back for Chutz L'Aretz Eretz Yisrael? You just use the pasuk a minute ago to tell you that ba'artzecha, that within Eretz Yisrael you have three regions and each region is different than the next. Says the Gemara says kodebe be'edes ba'artzecha, could have said be'edes. We would know the same thing, but saying ba'artzecha comes to teach you two dinim. Says the Gemara. Inamim asher ba'artzcha, says asher ba'artzcha. Asher is extra. Rav Safra, nofim Eretz Yisrael. Rav Safra left Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz La'aretz. Lovu ba'hadeh. He was escorted by Rav Huna b'reid Rav Ika v'Rav Kahana. He was escorted by Rav Huna the son of Rav Ika and by Rav Kahana. Amar lahu, he said to both of them, Ika d'shmi lahu, did you hear at all, Rav Avu, did you hear from Avu whether halacha ki Rav Shimon Lozer aloi, is halacha like Rav Shimon Lozer you have to bring back from Chutz La'aretz into Eretz Yisrael or not? Amar Rav Kahana said, Hachim Rav Avu, halacha ki Rav Shimon Lozer. Rav Kahana said, Rav Avu said, the halacha is like Rav Shimon Lozer. Amar lahu, Rav Ika, I heard just the opposite, Hachim Rav Avu, ain't halacha Rav Shimon Lozer. Now he's in a quandary, a dilemma, who should he follow? The one who says halacha is, the one who says halacha isn't. They're both saying the name of Rav Avu. Amar Rav Safra, Nekoit HaKlola, that Rav Huna B'yodach. I'd rather trust Rav Huna than you. Why? The Dayik V'Gomer Shmaita. We'll have this on a number of occasions. There are certain people that are very particular in what their Rebbe said. They would repeat it again. And therefore, I can trust that he said the right thing. So Rashi said, he would always ask him, say it again. And then ask the rabbi to test him to make sure that he said it, that he remembers it correctly or not. Just like Rechavim Pupa did, so he said over a halacha exactly verbatim the way his Rebbe told him, even though grammatically it was not really correct, but he was very medactic in the words of his Rebbe. We had it before already. Rechavim said the name of Rabbi Yehuda, Har Habayis Stav Kofaloya, that the Har Habayis was like two rows of benches, Stav Lefnim and Stav, one row within the other. So therefore, why did he use such a language? Because that's what his Rebbe said. Rabbi Yisrael made a comment on Rabbi Safra. Rabbi Yisrael made a comment. So now we're following Rabbi Huna, who says that the loch is not like Shimon Lazar, so we're lenient. We don't go from Chuslar to the soil. You don't have to bring it back. So Rabbi Yisrael says that maybe Rabbi Safra has some kind of ulterior motive. What was the ulterior motive? But the pasuk says, "Ami ba'aita Yishon," my nation, talks to wood. Umakla yagidle, and the stick will tell him the story. But we're going to dash in that makla is the word kula. Kolamekla magla. Whoever gives me more makel, I'm going to say I trust him more than the other guy. No, Rabbi Yisrael didn't really follow this thing here that you trust one Talmud more than another Talmud. You don't know you should be machmir, but he wasn't. Therefore, he just said that the reason why Rabbi Safra made his comment is because he wanted to follow the kula. You don't have to travel, schlep with you back any crap left over from Eretz Yisrael in the year of Shemitah from Babel to Eretz Yisrael. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Loi, he used to cut down kafni osa the shviyas. He used to cut down little berries in the year of Shemitah. These are date, but they're small, very small. Kafniyosa, actually also is the word for hunger. Those very small ones. Says the Gemara, these are unripe. And why do you cut the tree for? Because it'll never have proper fruits. This is a tree that probably never will have proper fruits, or very little. We had in the Gemara, probably a kav for a tree, and this won't have a kav for a tree. Says the Gemara, the Gemara's problem is not with Baltashkin, the problem is, how can you do this? What you do with the berries, you should only eat them on Shemitah, you shouldn't destroy them. And here he's destroying the branch of the tree. When it comes to fruits. And here you want to argue that kafni yosa are not considered fruits because they're not fully ripe. I'm not going to pay the loy, but if it didn't fully ripen, then a problem. He clearly said that those little, like the leaves that protect the orla, little berries are starting to grow. I'm talking about dates now. That cover the orla, asiri, are forbidden. Are forbidden because they're there to protect the peidi. Now, what size are the peidi? We're talking about orla now. That those leaves that protect the peidi, little peidis, are also considered orla. You can't have any benefit from it because it's not a piece of wood. It's considered like you're covering the peidi. And they themselves become a peidi. We're talking about tiny little dates that haven't yet matured, and yet you're calling them peidi. The shomer the peidi amos have, when are they considered a shomer for a peidi? Bekufre, when they're small. And kufra is a chayda, the same thing as kafnius. And what happens is that these leaves, as the time goes on, they dry off and they fall down. So we see that kafnius are called peira because we're talking about the leaves that are covering for orla, and we're referring to those little tiny dates as peiras. Nachman, Rabbi Yisrael says, right. Nachman, who says that these unripe fruits, that these unripe fruits are called peiras and the leaves around them are called shayma peidi, he's following the view of Rabbi Yisi, but we're not following Rabbi Yisi. Now, Rabbi Yisi says that smodar osir. Rabbi Yisi says that smodar, when a grape begins to start to grow very small in a very small state, it is forbidden in Orla mitnei shepeid is considered peidi. But a pligi rabbanu let rabbanu disagree, and we're talking according to rabbanu. That's why he cut it down in the year of Shemitah, because these little fruits are not considered fruits at all. So Rabbi Loi cut them down. Says the Gemara, maybe on grapes they argue, but who says he argues about dates or anything else? In Sechta Orla there. Who said their argument? Now we learn, what stage can you no longer cut down trees? In the year Shemitah, Beshame says, Kol Ilonis, all the trees. We're not talking about grapes, what other trees? And when you say you're not allowed to cut them down because the berries are large enough that it's considered fruits, and you're not allowed to cut it down in the year Shemitah, because it says la'ochla v'le'le hefzid. Beisham, it says, as soon as it starts budding, mishiyetziu. And Basil says, hacharug, when it comes to boxer, when it comes to carob, mishiyishirushu. When it comes to carob, when they look like they're starting to have a form, it looks like a chain. Like finally, when it comes to grapes, mishiyigru, when they have little tiny grapes, the size of a guru, a little bit. And what size that we'll see in a minute. Vahazezu comes to olives, mishinitsu, when it starts having a little stem on the outside. Vishar colors all other trees, mishiyetziu, when it begins to bud. Vamrabasi, who boysir, who girua, pulavan, they're all the same, but boysir and girua exactly the same. And pulavan is an Egyptian bean. What do you mean to say? Pulavan is a dat, is the same. What do you mean to say? Eleema say. How do you get to pull eleven? We're talking about beans over here. We're talking about grapes. We're talking about olives. Elaim mishiyudik pull eleven. The size of these little berries are the size of an Egyptian bean, or a white bean. Uman shamelid amar boiser in smother loy rabbon. Who says that only boiser is considered fruit, but smother is not rabbon? It's so obviously who's talking about here? We said boiser. So obviously it's not Rabbi Yossi holding even a smaller stage when it's smother. Even before boiser, it's considered a grape. Since the boiser must be, this is the opinion of Rabbanan. And yet when it comes to all other trees, it says mishiyetzi as soon as it starts budding. When it starts budding, that means including dates. So how can the loy chop down the tree because the dates were tiny? It's still considered a peyri. Now do the shmita. Ella Rabbi Loi ben Ischane cuts. He's talking about over here, which I don't really understand. We had it a few times. It's talking about, as Rashi explains, a dekel zocher. We're talking about a male dekel, and those will never ever ripen. When do we say mishiyetziyai a grape or an olive, whatever, eventually, or any other fruit? A date, eventually it will ripen, but right now it's not at that stage. So they say it's really usa right now, because the potential is all there. But when it comes to male palm tree, it will never. So obviously you have a male palm tree and a female palm tree, and the male palm tree will never mature, and therefore it's never considered a fruit. Yeah. It never matures fully. So therefore, Abeloi wasn't really destroying anything at all. Okay, we'll stop over here.